Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by Craig Mauger and John Roerink. A little later, Norm Hughes, candidate for the Michigan State Republican Party, will be joining us. But first, John, just looking at what is going on here with the Republican Party race for chair, it looks like we have a mildly competitive race here with Norm Hughes running. We also got Kim Schmina over in the Lapeer neck of the woods. But Ronna Romney McDaniel is kind of perceived as the front runner right now. It's kind of hard to know exactly where she is on a lot of issues because she really hadn't talked to anybody yet outside of maybe delegates. She hadn't talked to anyone in the media anyway.
Well, this might be this is probably a race where she wants to talk a lot more to individual delegates on the telephone and kind of do a grassroots campaign as opposed to talking to us. You're not going to win a convention by appearing on Off the Record or appearing on the MERS podcast as much as we would love to have her as a guest. But I don't think that's where the campaign is going to get waged and where it's going to get won. It's interesting, though, if you kind of think about the tenure of Bobby Shostak. If you'll recall his first two-year term, he was a little cautious about doing interviews. He was a little hard to get. I think we got him on the podcast, but it took a little while, if I remember, after he got elected. So I'm not surprised that she's kind of shying away from taking center stage and running the risk of alienating possibly delegates who would support her.
And I was just thinking back to when Lon Johnson was going to run for state party chair. It took us a while before we were able to get him on the phone. But then on the other hand, Craig, we've got Norm Hughes. He's going to be talking with us a little bit. Kim Schmina, I picked up the phone. She said, go ahead and call any time. How concerning is it, or does it raise any flags when you have somebody who's running for state party chair not engaging in the media?
Yeah, I think a couple of interesting notes here. One, keep in mind, she is the GOP National Committee woman. She's not some person that is not holding any type of political office who has decided I'm going to run for chair. She's someone that holds a public position, and you'd think from there, from that position, that she would be, you know, somewhat open and understanding that, you know, part of this is talking to the media, whether I like it or not, I kind of have to express my ideas. Another point is, I mean, the precinct delegates that I'm hearing from say that she's very active talking to them. So she is reaching out to the delegates. It seems like it's a strategy that, you know, this is going to be decided by these delegates, and it's not going to be decided by a public vote. So, you know, I don't really need to talk to the media. There's not a lot to gain in talking to the media. But at the same time, if you're a delegate and you're about to decide who's going to chair the state party for 2 years, you think that you'd want to see the person that's a candidate maybe do a couple stops with the media just to see how she does.
Is she proficient in dealing with the media?
This person's going to be the face of the party. That's one of the main roles of being the state party chair. You're the face of the party. You're going to go up against Lon Johnson on Off the Record and on other TV shows. If you're a delegate, you think there might be some interest in knowing how she's going to do in that setting. So far, we haven't seen that as reporters. Maybe the delegates are convinced in what they're hearing from her that she's going to do all right.
Our reaction as reporters is we want to see how she does in the public stage. I think if you think about a lot of delegates, though, especially when you kind of get into the Tea Party part of the party, it's a lot more passion-based. Does she believe what I believe? Is she going to go where I want her to go? Versus, I think she's going to be really good on the set of Off the Record, and Tim Skubick's going to be able to not be able to phase her.
I would point out to that, to counter that, there's one thing to go to a Tea Party event and tell the Tea Party people, I'm with you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do what you say. It's a totally different thing to come on a TV show like Off the Record or do an interview with the reporter and say, this is what I believe. I believe in, you know, freedom of firearms. I believe in this issue, and I'm going to do everything I can to stand by those issues and be on the record making those positions stated.
And let's think about this, too. This is for the 2016 election, where their main person on the ballot is going to be a presidential candidate. Now, how many times is that presidential candidate actually going to be in Michigan? You know, at some point, she's going to be the surrogate for the Republican Party, or the, you know, presumably, right? Or maybe she gets somebody else to fill in for. But it's not like a gubernatorial race where the gubernatorial candidate will go up and speak on his or her behalf. The presidential candidate isn't going to be in Michigan all that long. And so somebody's got to speak for this person in order to get that top of the ticket over the finish line and do something that they haven't done in this state since 1988, which is actually win.
Yeah, I was going to say, the presidential candidate might be here a lot before the primary is, or before the nomination is settled for the Republican Party, but after that, they're probably not going to be here that much.
And we're not just talking about Off the Record. I mean, just think about the different television shows in Southeast Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, Channel 2's got one, Nolan Finley has one with Stephen Henderson, and they're on a regular. Mm-hmm. So, and then you've got shows up north. You got Rick Albin's show over on the west side of the state. There's a lot of TV, and then we're not even talking about the radio opportunities.
But again, you're kind of making these analysis from the perspective of a member of the media versus someone who's running in a delegate vote for a statewide party chair position. It's really not a public position. It's not a statewide position. It's a party position, and it's not, you know, I mean, she won it once for the National Committee Woman, and it's not too terribly different, but it's not a public campaign. It doesn't need to be a public campaign. She needs to reach out to individual delegates, make an impactful statement, and connect.
The state chair races, though, I think in this day and age, are public.
Well, and also, we got to know if she's good, though. I mean, we got to know that we're not dealing with a Terry Lynn Land situation, right, where she was running away from the media. Is she good with the media? We don't know. And isn't that something that you got to take into account?
I suspect we're not going to know until after the votes are cast, because there is no good argument for her to appear in a public forum on a media outlet like Off the Record or to take reporters' questions. It's much better use of her time to reach out to delegates and to reach out to principals in the party.
I understand that, in the sense that she's trying to win something. She's trying to play defense.
Strategically.
From a strategic, she believes that she's way ahead and she probably just can go ahead and coast and do the slot. And I'm not debating that point. But what I am saying that there is a certain point that this is going to have to be a part of her arsenal. And we would probably, as media, would probably just like to see it sooner than later.
You know, it'd be nice to ask her some of these questions, like about Dave Ajima, and ask her about her stances on different issues. I think that information should be out there for these delegates when they're deciding whether or not to vote for her.
Anyway, let's move on to the other party, the Michigan Democratic Party. They're going to be having their convention on Valentine's Day, and it looks like Lon Johnson is it.
That's a great day, Valentine's Day.
I know.
It makes you feel warm in the heart.
I know. We love this state, say the Democrats from Cobo Hall. Should this be a surprise, guys, that Lon Johnson really has no competition? This Ray Plowden from Detroit was looking at it. That hasn't really generated any steam at all. It looks like he's going to be it. Is there any disagreement to that?
Not that I've seen. But look, you know, when sort of his voter turnout issue collapsed with the general election, he did do a fairly good job of coming out. I think it was in a matter of about 2 days. Remember that email, and it had all the measurements, the Democratic dashboard, if you will, of everything that they've done during his tenure. He did get on the shtick pretty quick as far as communicating, and so I guess I'm not surprised, given the way he won that race. There were a lot of people that were in powerful positions that were invested in getting him into that slot. It's hard to turn that around right away in a 2-year cycle, even with the failures that they...
But Craig, the adjectives we heard after this were anything from disappointment to disaster, and yet he's going to coast right into a second term without even really a challenge. How do you explain that?
I think what John said is spot on. If you look at how Lon rose to power in the Democratic Party, he had some forces from Washington, kind of the Michigan congressional delegation, that really backed him and gave him a lot of credibility. This is the guy the party needs. You know, Sandy Levin and others were out there standing with him and helping give his candidate to see a ton of credibility. It'd be very difficult for these stakeholders now 2 years later to be like, yeah, this guy isn't right. We screwed up. We're going to take the blame. We did this wrong. You know, basically, and also to kick someone out after 2 years would probably...
Kind of knee-jerk?
It would be a tough reaction to gain a lot of traction among the Democrats. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty easy argument to make. Let's give him one more try and see how it goes.
You know, Lon helped himself out, too, I think, too, by bringing everyone to the table almost immediately and talking about analyzing data. They've been analyzing this data for mm-hmm. a long time, guys. They're still analyzing the data to see what went wrong. Yeah. And mm-hmm. after a while, you kind of run off the shot clock, if you think about it. It's a good strategy,
well,
really.
I do think had he sat on his hands for 2 months or a month and a half, he probably would have been in a lot more trouble
I don't think he ran and hid from these results.
No,
and I think that's probably what, in the end of the day, has helped save him, is that he said, I'm going to answer for what happened. He was on the phone. I think you spoke with him shortly after the election. So, I mean, when you respond to problems like he did, it usually helps you quite a bit.
It looks like there isn't going to be a lot of drama, but on the Democratic side, but
there's always something.
There's still time.
There's always something.
There's still time.
All right. Well, let's head on to the interview portion of this podcast.
Joining me on the other end of the line is Norm Hughes, candidate for the Michigan Republican Party chair. Thanks for joining us on the phone. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Give our listeners a little bit of background about you. You're no stranger in Republican circles or conservative circles, but for our listeners who aren't familiar with you, tell us who Norm Hughes is.
I'm a man of faith. I'm a father of three, a grandfather of nine, raised in a large family on a small farm, blessed with the opportunity of being born in America where you have opportunities for upward mobility. You study hard and work hard, and you get places in this country. I am by profession an architectural engineer with more than 40 years of experience, and I've been involved in the Republican Party going back way to 1964 when, as a young college kid, the governor asked me to go to the national convention and help him run his floor demonstration. So I've been involved since then. I've been a district and a county Republican chair on the Republican State Committee. I have been a nominee for Congress twice. I ran the Reagan campaign here in 1976 and was a national delegate for him in 76 and 80. And in 1984, was elected a presidential elector and was blessed to be able to put his name in nomination at the meeting of the Electoral College. So I did serve in three positions in the Reagan administration and the White House Speaker's Bureau, so I've got a lot of experience within the Republican Party. The only candidate, as a matter of fact, who's been both a district and a county chair. I don't think either one of them appeared either. And I think experience counts. If you're going to want to grow the grassroots, you have to have that experience. I was co-chair of the Tax Limitation Amendment group in 1970s that put the tax limitation or Headley Amendment in the Constitution in 1978. And I also was the leader of Michigan Freedom to Work that speared and promoted the new labor freedom laws in Michigan.
Now, Norm, you had considered running for state party chair 2 years ago. You opted not to. Why did you decide not to then, but you want to now?
I didn't think the time was right for me personally, and another candidate jumped in who would have appealed to the same voter set, and I thought splitting the vote wouldn't be helpful, and I just didn't think it was right. I was very involved in trying to implement Michigan Freedom to Work, and had a lot of work that I thought was still remaining to make sure that law went into place and was properly implemented, and that was about the same time frame.
Now, did you end up supporting Todd Corser then?
I did. I didn't dislike Bobby, but I have a problem with top-down governance where the grassroots are left behind, and that's one thing I'm wanting to offer now. The delegates are telling me the top priorities for a state chair is they want somebody that will brand the party so people understand what it means to vote Republican. That's their first priority. Their second priority is to grow the grassroots. They want somebody who's got the experience to recruit, train, inspire, motivate, and implement a good grassroots program. As a district chair, we recruited over 600 precinct delegates. As a county chair, we've turned out record votes for the presidential candidate. And so that experience is there. And then the third thing they want is they want somebody that will enable and assist the local parties to be all they can be. And I've been there, done that. I've, again, as district and county chair and as a club, Republican club chair, I know how important it is for the state party to work with and support the parties but not dictate to them or give them a cookie-cutter mandate on how they have to run their operations. So I think we'll do a listening tour and work with the delegates, work with the local leadership to try to implement what they think will work best to get out the vote.
Now, we've heard from some Tea Party leaders that they're already supporting Ronna Romney McDaniel for this position. Are you concerned at all about her support within the grassroots of this state, and how do you get those conservative voters over to your side if they've already committed?
There are several who appear on her endorsement list who have called and told me that they did it before they knew I was in the race and that they'll be supporting me. And she did put on a good co-chair that has connections with the grassroots, but so have I. And I think we'll have the lion's share of the conservative movement and a number of the so-called establishment, people who want to see the party become grassroots-oriented and lead from the bottom up.
So there's been a lot of discussion about Dave Ageman, the national committee man, and the things that he's posted on Facebook and calls for his resignation. What's your opinion on what he should do? Should he resign, and are you supportive of him continuing on in the role of national committee man?
The only one that can take Dave out right now is Dave. The rules do not permit the party to remove him. He's in for another couple of years, and if he chooses to stay in, I will work with him to to try to clean up whatever he might present, maybe offer him some help from the party staff to review and help him be more effective in terms of his presentation. They can't force him to resign, and if he wants to stay in, he can stay in. And I like him. He's got the support of the grassroots, and I think it's a private internal matter and should not be blasted out in the news media. I don't think that helps him. It frustrates the people who are calling for it, who don't have the power to implement it, and it puts a black mark on the party. So I think we handle it internally, and I know Dave well enough that I think we can do that.
Do you think what he's put out has been misrepresented?
Absolutely. Dave is a solid Christian who believes he's called to defend his faith, and when he sees certain groups attacking his faith, he has a tendency to try to defend that. He's posted some things for discussion that are then taken and said that he wrote them, or even attributing the one post he had somebody who knew somebody in 1941 who had gone to a KKK rally, and they started labeling Dave as KKK. It's a smear. It's sour grapes from people who lost to him. And it's certainly not perfect. I think I've talked to him about cleaning up some of the posts, and I think he will.
Now, Ronald Romney McDaniel hasn't done many media interviews leading up to this election, probably a strategy move that we talked about earlier on this podcast. What are you hearing, though, from the grassroots? Because we keep hearing that she's been very visible as a national committee woman and has made a lot of contacts across the state.
I think she's doing a lot of calling, and but she's not going to many events. We've two, three different events yesterday that she did not show for. And I don't know the reasons why. She can run her campaign the way she wishes. But we're going to be out there. Of course, the media doesn't vote for you. The general public doesn't vote for you. You got a fixed audience of so many precinct delegates, and after February 5th, so many state delegates. And so a wise campaign hones in on those and tries to communicate with them.
The Tea Party was critical of Governor Snyder last year for some of his positions, such as Medicaid expansion, the Bridge to Canada. What's your view been on Snyder, how he's done as governor, and did you support his reelection?
I think he's been a very effective governor. I don't think he has ruled as a Republican governor per se. There are some things that, I mean, the party principles, both national and state, are very clear. We want limited government. Government at the level closest to the people as possible, and I think that there's been a number of tax increases under a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, and the proposals can be on the ballot on May 5. I think these are not within the Republican platform, and I think that's part of the Republican branding. I don't dislike the governor. As a matter of fact, I like him personally. But I think the party is going to have to do its own branding and stand for its own principles. And if he is going to be a nonpartisan or bipartisan governor, I can understand that. That's his right. So we're going to oppose some tax increases, and I personally am going to oppose the one on May 5th. I think it's a terrible overreach, and I think there are ways of fixing these roads without increasing taxes, such as repealing prevailing wage and dedicating some of the increases that we're going to get through expansion of government back into roads. And I think it can be done with a tax increase, and I think that's the approach the House took, and it's the proper approach to governing through Republican principles.
So if you were elected then as the Republican Party chair, would there be a situation where the Republican Party would oppose something like this road ballot proposal that the governor is out there actively supporting?
I think there's a possibility of that. That, of course, would speak through the state committee, and of course he would certainly be welcome to make his case, but the state committee has an issues committee, and the committee of the whole would likely take up that issue. And Kyle, in a poll we've done of the precinct delegates, by a 12-1 margin they oppose it, and by a 7-1 margin they want the party to come out opposed to it. So, that'll be up to the delegates, and if they want to oppose it, I would certainly be willing to back them on that.
Did you support Snyder for re-election last year?
I supported almost the entire team. I did personally vote for him, and I know I'll take some flack from some of my listeners on that, but I was very appreciative of what he did on Freedom to Work. It was hard getting him to come on board with that, but he did, and I appreciate that, and I felt I owed him some support for that.
All right. Very good. Anything else you want to touch on here?
No, I think experience is going to be the big issue. Neither one of the other candidates have any real experience in running grassroots. We've done it statewide several times. I've shown the ability to lead and the ability to listen, and those are the qualities we need in the chair. We'll be able to raise enough money to get the job done, and I think it's going to be a great 2 years to bring the grassroots back in. A lot of conservative activists have left the party, and bring back the coalition that won so big in 2010. We're going to need a grassroots leader that can connect with the entire party.
Norm Hughes, candidate for the Michigan Republican Party chair. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and God bless.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks to John and Craig and the Michigan Press Association for sponsoring this and all podcasts. I'd also like to thank the people who broke into the building on Saturday for not stealing my computer. That was nice of them. You take everybody else's, but leave mine. Actually, maybe I wish they would have taken mine. Then I would have.
Got a new computer.
Then I would have gotten a new computer, John. Because
yeah,
I think my touchpad is working a little stiff, you know?
It is. You had to use your computer the other day. And it was...
You know that computer? It used to be your computer.
I think you're too hard on it.
No, I don't think so. Hey, that's an old computer, John. You gave that to me the last time I spilled coffee on my...
That's right.
When did I spill coffee on that? Was that the Romney election? It was one of those election nights.
Probably.
I think it was when... When did Romney run? No, it was before that, though. I've had that computer a long time.
No, when he ran the first time?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's not that old. This is not that old of a computer. You're thinking of the one prior to that.
Am I really?
Yeah. Your computer's not that old. Too.
I'm gonna take a look at that. I'll look at my last backup when it says 735 days since my last backup or whatever the last time it was.
I mean, the crooks obviously looked at your computer and said, "That's too old."
I don't want that piece of junk. You would have been interesting, though, if we would have had Jack's old computer there. Remember all that nasty crap that was in Jack's computer? The seeds and stuff? Like, I wonder if they would have touched that. We will never know. Answers to debate later. Okay, that's going to do it. Until next week, I'm Kyle Mullen. Take care.